Welcome to Rock the Midlife Show, a podcast that brings you fun and interesting conversations to inspire, motivate, and encourage women on their journey through midlife. I am your host, Alinka Tercic. Enjoy. Hey, I'm today here with Krista Norris, my dear friend. She's an intuitive coach and energy healer. Hi, Krista.
Hello, Alinka. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this.
I'm so excited to having you. And, you know, I feel like we know each other for so long. And we actually met on Facebook, and our paths are somehow similar, how we are, you know, transitioned from the corporate world into the more soulful work. But you have always been very intuitive and very connected to nature and animals. And how did you, let's say, survive during those early days when, you know, the knowledge and the acceptance of all this was not where it is now?
Absolutely. Do you mean the knowledge in terms of mainstream society?
Yes.
Okay.
Because now, you know, we're talking about spirits and angels and, you know, other dimensions, it kind of become more acceptable and become more widely spread. But I would say, you know, when you were a child, you know, it was something that not many people knew. How did your family, did you have it in your family so they supported you? Or how did you go through those early years?
Absolutely. You know, thinking back, I'm literally thinking back as I'm answering you. My family, I guess we were sort of religious light, if that makes sense. We went to church. My parents took us to church, and they were there until I was seven, to a Baptist Christian church. Then when I was seven, they said to all of my sisters and I'm the fourth of five girls. So they said to all of my sisters and I, you know, we're going to leave for various reasons, which I found out as I grew up later what those were, but they left for their own reasons. But at the same time, they said, you know, but we're not going to tell you what to do. You can keep going, or you can leave if you'd like. And so I and one of my other sisters, we kept going. And I was there until I was 15 years old. And then through a series of events and just things I was beginning to notice in that particular church as well, that didn't sit well with me, I ended up leaving when I was 15. And, but me leaving didn't stop my spiritualness. I feel that for me, being connected to nature, feeling that spiritual peacefulness, for instance, that can come when you see a sunset, when you're somewhere really peaceful in the outdoors, that was something that I always just felt very connected to. And it connected with me from a very early age. And so I suppose my take on being spiritual, it's always been a very personal journey for me, even though I did spend time in an organized church, Christian church for a time. And so in terms of support from my family, it's not that it was ever discouraged. It's not that it was ever particularly encouraged either. Everyone was just sort of doing their own thing. My family was a very, how do I say this? There were elements where there was a lot of protection. There was elements where they were very protective over me and my sisters. So there were rules in place. There were things where they could be strict. But my parents also have a side where they were very, I suppose, laid back and open-minded. So they really allowed my sisters and I, in terms of religious or spiritual things, to follow what fit for us. if that makes sense. So
yeah, totally. And you know, giving a child that freedom, you know, to really learn about themselves. And what you said about, you know, being in a nature, this is how I feel when I am in a in nature. And I think that we are, I know we became so disconnected with that aspect of nature. We see it, you know, more like a profit producing. I don't even know how to explain it, but you know, it is, you know, you go to visit a site as a tourist, you go to, you know, yes, hiking, but oftentimes it's a very, let's say, touristy exploit. And you know, just allowing that, being in the nature and, like you said, seeing a sunset, now it became like the Instagram photo. It's not that we are enjoying this and really, yeah, you know, getting into that moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because I feel that what you're describing right now, the first thing that popped in my head was that it's similar for me anyway, when I think about the difference between living in, say, a big city, yeah, compared to a smaller town. There's something that happens the more we as human beings, as humanity, the more our lives become, I guess, singular focus. So let's say, you know, the kind of typical, you get up in the morning, you get ready for work, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, maybe you have a couple hours, and then you go to bed, and you do it all over again, again, and again, and again, and again, and it becomes this monotonous thing to the point where, you know, even people's energy levels for anything outside of that can begin to feel sapped and drained. Yeah. And to the point where in a lot of big cities, for instance, people, it's really regular. You may not even know who your neighbors are. You may not know that at all. And I experienced that when I first moved from where I grew up, which is, it's a place called Boulder, Colorado, which it's changed a lot over the years. Boulder has changed a lot. But when I was growing up, it still had very much that small town feel. And so, yeah, and maybe that's part of why it helped me in my own spiritual journey, because literally, for instance, there was a field in right behind the house I grew up in. And I used to just sit out there and just kind of go. Yeah. And we were encouraged to spend time outside. Whereas for, you know, a lot of people now, there are people have more fears. If you live in a big city, it's a lot easier, for instance. Well, whether you live in a big city or not, if you have a life where you feel that your priorities are very focused, and you only, you know, we're all incredible beings, but we all have a finite amount of energy, right, to spend on anything. And if your priorities are, okay, I need to make sure I perform well at my work, whatever it is, I need to make sure that whoever I'm in a relationship is satisfied and happy and okay. If you have children, I need to make sure that their needs are taken care of. Things such as your spiritual path, I can totally understand. It can sometimes feel difficult to even find the time for those things. Yeah. And some of that's a product of our society. You know, as people get busier, but part of it is just normal, you know, your day to day.
Yeah, but then again, it's all about priorities. And I feel like we have these phases in our lives where, you know, we put a different emphasis on different priority. And I see, especially with women in midlife, they are, you know, more getting back to the nature, getting back to themselves, getting back into, not maybe getting back, but starting with meditation, starting with yoga, starting with different techniques, starting with even gardening or you know, doing something that really fills the soul instead of just being in this everyday life and being available to anyone and being on the clock all the time and being, you know, in service of others.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. I love that. I love how you put it. And yeah, I completely agree. And I feel that, how do I say this? Because there's a flip side to everything, right? The industrial age kind of led the way for the technology age that we've been living in. And all of those things are wonderful. You know, they have their benefits. It's progress, right? Progress maybe in air quotes, depending on your point of view. But inevitably, when you focus so much on one thing, other things will be lost. Other things have to be set aside. Because not everyone, we as humanity, as a collective, at the same time as a person individually, you can only have your focus on so many things before you begin to feel drained. And so it makes sense to me that things such as connection to nature and so on began to be lost. But the flip side to that is a bit of what you're describing, in that the more you ignore any one certain aspect of what you as a being needs for your happiness, your sense of peace, your well-being, your centeredness, whatever it is, the more you ignore that, the more that deep sense of unease is going to grow within you until you finally pay attention to it. And it feels like right now, this point in history, as a human collective, but also for, you know, a lot of people individually, more and more people are realizing that those pieces of themselves, those pieces of what we inherently need as also spiritual beings, connected to nature beings, because we are, you know, even if you just briefly, even if you look at human biology, our very DNA, our cellular makeup is made up of, well, stars, that's one thing science has proven, but we literally also come from soil. Our physical body comes from the earth. And from Mother Nature. And so when we ignore those things, that's part of why there's that deep sense of unease there, because from our very cellular physical core, a piece of ourselves knows that there's something that's been missing. And so that's part of why I can imagine, I mean, it's a mix of reasons, but that's one of the reasons why I feel, and I've noticed a lot of people are realizing and feeling this deep inner desire to connect with Mother Nature more, to do things like meditate, to be more mindful, maybe to explore their own spiritual path. Maybe to feel and have deeper connections with their loved ones, whatever it is, there's part of why those desires are there is that we as individuals, as well as a collective, have been ignoring a very core part of ourselves for a very long time, hundreds of years in some cases, decades in others.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally agree with you. And when we talked before this recording, we talked about, you know, being resilient and really bouncing back. And I think that this is, you know, a lot of women I see is they really don't have anything, I would say, special, tragic, you know, one moment that you can pinpoint, you know, something happened. Someone dies, you have an accident, you have injury, you know, something really catastrophic proportions for your life. But it's this gradual change. And I know we talked about it and we are basically the same. We have all these pieces that we went through. And it's not one thing that would, that you can say, okay, this changed me, this affected me, everything did, but it's not one single thing that you can really, you know, like say, okay, because of this, I am this person. You are this person because of everything. And how would you say, you know, what would you say to women that feel like their life is, I would say, nothing special? They kind of have it all. And then you get stuck in this comfort zone. You get comfortable. You get content with your life. And everyone is telling you, oh, what you're complaining? You have everything you want. And you do. And you are grateful for that. But you know that there is still something missing. You need to change something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first, I love that question. Once again, I love how you put it. And I do feel that what you're describing is a lot more common than people realize. The only thing is a lot of us haven't been raised knowing how to talk about this stuff, or it hasn't been encouraged, either in your family or in your community, you know, whatever. But the rates, you know, I used to work many years ago before I trained in the type of coaching and healing work I do now. I used to work for a mental health charity in England. I lived in England for 14 years and then traveled all around Europe and the UK for around almost three. Anyhow, when I was living and working in England, I used to work for this mental health charity, and they do research within mental health issues in employment, criminal justice system, youth justice. Now they're doing a lot of work with families. And I remember this big campaign. It was called Time to Change. And the organization I worked for, they partnered with it. And through that campaign, it was a public awareness campaign, trying to bring awareness to mental health and emotional health issues. And one of the statistics that got mentioned in the campaign, and this statistic, it wasn't just UK specific, it came out of research, you know, longitudinal studies, which for those who don't know means ongoing studies year after year after year, in some cases up to 20 years, and studies that have been done all around the world. So very powerful information came out of it. Well, one of the statistics showed that, I'm trying to remember it now, but I believe it was 3 out of 4 people everywhere, all around the world. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your financial bracket. It doesn't matter your age, gender. 3 out of 4 people will either have experienced a mental or emotional health issue themselves, and or they will know someone who has, but perhaps just isn't talking about it. It's common. And in the workplace, 6 out of 8 people will be currently experiencing a mental and or emotional health issue, but perhaps just not talking about it. It's this big unsaid thing. And, you know, when you get to, in clinical terms, you know, psychology, therapeutic terms, one way to look at emotional or mental health issues is that there is a very large piece of yourself that you haven't been listening to. There's a reason why that emotional or mental health issue is there and affecting you as significantly as it is now, whether or not you're speaking about it. And, you know, in the range of a mental or emotional health issue is anything, it's defined as anything from your everyday blues, that maybe you just have them more often, is anything from that all the way up to something such as, say, you know, a really serious diagnosis such as schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, something like that. So when you realize that dis-ease, that unhappiness, that deep, unsettled unhappiness is something that is so common, actually. One, for some people, it can actually make them feel a lot better because they realize they're not alone. Two, it can help you understand, I feel, that what you may be experiencing is something that it's something you may be personally experiencing, but I feel from my own training and experience over the years helping women in my coaching and healing sessions, that sense of unease and unhappiness is something that is much more symptomatic than people realize. It's much more prevalent than people realize. So that's one part of it. The other part of it, this is kind of a long answer, but the other part of it is that for the woman who has this sense of unease, unhappiness, but on paper, on the surface, either is recognizing for herself, seeing for herself, or having people say to her, but why are you so unhappy? You have all these incredible things in your life. You know, look at this, look at that, look at that. If you're feeling a sense of unease, it's there for a reason. We don't feel things just for the sake of it. That's not how we work. That's not how human beings work. That's not how our brain works. That's not how your unconscious, subconscious works. That's not how your emotions work. If you're feeling and experiencing something, it's there for a reason. And it doesn't have to be something huge or scary. It could be, maybe there's a piece of yourself that you've been ignoring, you've been denying. Maybe your little girl energy would like to connect with you. Maybe you haven't had enough fun or play. Maybe there's a creative project. Maybe you're an inner artist budding and really wanting to come out, but you haven't given yourself permission, or it hasn't been encouraged for you to follow that path, follow that part of yourself. There can be a lot of reasons for feeling and experiencing unease. But I would say, you know, if you're feeling and experiencing that, it's not coming from nowhere. And that's one thing I feel, and I'm feeling like I've got to touch on this really quickly. Well, allowing yourself to listen to whatever your deeper parts, your deeper self is telling you. And that's what's happening. If you're feeling a sense of unease, dis-ease, unhappiness, it's because you're not listening to yourself. Listening to yourself and really listening and then taking action on it isn't something that a lot of people, men and women, to be fair, have been raised knowing it's okay to do. For women, historically, it's been particularly not encouraged. And for women, many of us, wherever you are in the world, wherever you've been raised, for women in particular, from the time we're little girls onwards, and, you know, there are loads of studies that show how and what happens with this, you know, all the way from in your immediate family to the classroom to all sorts of different situations. Girls just, for some reason, that psychologists and scientists are still trying to completely understand, we don't tend to be encouraged as much as little boys do for loads of different reasons. It's not just one thing. Luckily, I feel, and I've noticed and seen a lot of evidence that this is shifting. More and more women, more and more people are realizing that women and girls should be encouraged. You know, goodness knows, woohoo, like it's, you know, some extraordinary thing. We are equal, and we have a lot of strengths and things that our world needs. But there's always a lag time. Any big sociological or worldwide change, that takes time to really come into place. And any change starts with us. It starts with each person individually. And for women who are thinking for themselves, just in their own lives, you know, what can they do? Maybe they're feeling that sense of unease and unhappiness. I would say, you know, allow yourself to take that step. Just experiment. Try something out. You know, it doesn't have to be big, but the more you give yourself permission to listen to what your inner, your deeper self is telling you, one, it feels really good. Two, the more you will be tapping into a very incredible part of yourself that has actually always been there. You just either haven't been raised with, or you haven't had models to know how to access that part of you, and or you haven't felt, for whatever reason, that it's been okay for you to look at those aspects of you and to listen in terms of taking action on what they're telling you.
Yeah, I love that. And it's been like a theme going through my few interviews now, you know, really connecting with yourself, your inner knowing, your inner feelings. And like you said, we kind of are taught to downplay our emotions. And, you know, and I feel like, of course, every stage of your life has different challenges. But when you reach your midlife, I feel like, you know, it's like, oh, you have a crisis. That's kind of a common, you know, for every emotion, every feeling, everything that you experience is, oh, it's just a crisis. You're approaching menopause. You know, it's just, I feel like the society as the whole is downplaying and, you know, ignoring those feelings and giving them the value that they bring to us. And I really am grateful that you mentioned it in a way that they bring us a message. They are telling us something. It's not that we are in a bad mood or we have a bad day, or, you know, just because it's raining, you don't feel like doing something. Or even procrastination became such a bad word, but it is telling us something.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if, for instance, let's say the procrastination is telling you that there's a part of you that's scared. Yeah. And that's why you're procrastinating. Or your procrastination could be telling you, wait, that's really not the right direction for you to be going in. Hold on.
Yeah. Exactly. And this is what no one teaches. I mean, it is opening up. It is more discussions about that. You know, things are coming on the surface. But we are not born with it. I mean, we are not raised with it to express our feelings, to be with our feelings. Even with the, you know, when you're feeling sad, it's okay. Everyone is telling you, be positive, you know, smile. You know, something like, okay, get over it. You know, you have enough. Don't go there. But we should, we should experience those feelings. We should pay attention to them.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And, you know, a few thoughts have come to me just in what you've just mentioned. And one of them is that telling others to, oh, why don't you smile more? Or, oh, things can't be that bad. I don't know how many of your audience listeners will have experienced this. I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. I've certainly experienced many times, especially when I was younger, if I wasn't in a great mood, my face tends to be pretty transparent. You can tell if I'm in a good mood or not.
I'm the same. Everyone can tell from a distance.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and there were multiple times where even when I was just out and about, and it was often it was men who would say this to me. If I had anything other than a bright smile on my face, I used to get comments like, oh, it can't be that bad. Cheer up. Smile. And these be people I didn't even know, just passersby. And there's something, it pisses me off. It makes me really angry when I think about this societal acceptance of, one, diminishing how other people are feeling, what their experience may be, And two, the number of times it's people feel that for some reason it's okay for them to tell other people how to feel. And in the proportion of times that that tends to happen for women as opposed to men. For women, that kind of situation or being told that how you're feeling or what you're experiencing isn't okay. In general, there are exceptions to every rule, of course, but in general, that tends to happen to women much more than it does men. Men have, you know, kind of the flip side, where if they're feeling sensitive or emotional, they can be told things like, no, man up, for instance, or don't be such a girl, which is another thing that really gets on my nerves. But I historically, you know, what we're talking about right now, in general, it's happened to women far more often. And, you know, even if you go back to the Victorian age, when they used to say that any physical illness or complaint that a woman had, it must be her hysteria, they called it.
Yeah.
Just in hysteria. You know, and that doesn't feel at all dissimilar to me to what you're describing and what you mentioned in terms of, let's say a woman is approaching menopause or going through it. Diminishing what a woman is going through and what she's expressing is no different to what they used to do to women then. And it's also, it's diminishing and putting down a woman's personal experience and her own autonomy and power in allowing her to express how she's feeling and what she's experiencing.
Yeah, I love this.
Put down like that when you say, oh, it must, you know, oh, it's not that big of a deal, just deal with it, whatever, however you phrase it. You are putting someone in a box and you're saying to that person that their needs, what they're going through, is not important, not valid. And that is, in the grand, bigger picture scheme of things, that's a really painful and harmful thing to do to someone.
Yes. And it's very limiting, and it's very, yeah, like, it's taking away, you know, a lot of their lives.
Yeah.
A big part of what they could be experiencing, a big part of, you know, like you said, putting them into a box and putting them, kind of putting a lid on the box as well, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And just one thing I would add to all of that is that the other side, the other aspect of when someone does that to anyone else, is that often the person doing that, the person wanting to put your experience, your feelings, what you're expressing into a box and push you away, they're often doing that because there's something about you and about what you're expressing that makes them uncomfortable within themselves. And that's why they're pushing you away. It doesn't make it okay for them to do that. But it's often because there's something within them, their own selves and their own discomfort, that they haven't accessed and they haven't looked at. Yeah. And you expressing your discomfort feels too uncomfortable for them to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm doing these interviews and doing this show. It's really bringing those conversations. And I know that they can be painful sometimes, and I'm very kind of blunt person. I usually tell it as it is, as you are, you're, you know, like putting the mirror up. And I feel it's so important to be aware, like you said, you're not alone. You have the power, and you do you. So yeah. Krista, thank you so much for this interview. And for the end, where can people connect with you? I will post everything on my website, but just if someone is just listening and, you know, don't go there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I'll be sharing this as well. I'd love to connect with anyone. You can find me. There are a few places people can find me. I'm really active on social media. So Facebook and Instagram are my preferred places. I tried Twitter. It didn't really work for me. So I gave up. But I love Instagram and Facebook. And I have, people can find me on Facebook. A really great first place is, so it's facebook.com/KristaNorris.9. And it's Krista, C-H-R-I-S-T-A, Norris, N-O-R-R-I-S.9. And on Instagram, people can find me on, my handle is Krista Norris, all one word, and underscore, shape your world.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I really love talking to you. It's always a pleasure talking to you because I feel that we share a similar view on life and we share the same passion to helping women. So thank you again. It was a pleasure. And thank you everyone for listening. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it, share it, rate it, review it. And the best way is going to the rockthemidlife.com/iTunes. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.